Hey everyone, this is Peas in a Podcast. My name's Colin. Who are you, Simon?
I'm Simon. Hey, we are identical twins.
Look at this. We are identical twins. And Simon, as I promised I would, I'm going to begin this podcast with a copious apology to not just you, but to the listeners and the world.
Oh my gosh.
Not just this world, but all known worlds. In the previous podcast, Simon, I joked that I never wanted to do this podcast. like many jokes, it had an undercurrent of truth.
it seemed just to be a statement at the time. just a press release of anything.
Yeah. You know me, Simon, I like to bring sweetness and light wherever I go. And that moment I misjudged the sweetness and the light, even though it was damn funny. And I'd do it again in a heartbeat.
I mean, I wasn't hurt. I just didn't want you to do it if you didn't want to do it. But I think it's like St. Joni of Mitchell said, you don't know what you've got till it's gone. So you missed it. You wanted it back.
Yeah. I think that was a song by Counting Crows.
Thank you. And Vanessa Carlton.
So this is the first time in Peas and Podcast history that I've been the one suggesting that we do it.
It's been big for me, actually. It's been huge. It's like, sometimes I don't see if friends want to see me for a while to see if they actually like me and suggest something. It's not time to, we haven't got time to delve into that.
it feels like maybe you should with a professional at some point, but I'm not qualified to do that, Simon. I'm not qualified to do that.
Do we want to open that kind of, I was going to say beans, but I guess it is worms.
Yeah, because you quite often do want to open a can of worms. It's a great idea to open a can of beans. It's always a bad idea to open a can of worms unless you're going fishing or something, I suppose.
But, who's canned the worms is my question. That's who we should be talking to and about and with and from. What sort of sick person cans worms?
Well, what would you do if you found a bunch of worms in a can?
Well, someone's got to put them in the can.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if you found an empty can and a bunch of worms, wouldn't you scoop up the worms in the can?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I think you're part of the problem.
Right. I love a beans on toast, son. I love a beans on toast.
Well, who doesn't? The Americans. But yes, yeah, it's great.
I think it's one of those things that people look down on our septed Nile. Sure. I work with a septed Nile. People look down on our septed Isle, son, for our baked beans.
And you always see Americans supposed to be like Brits criticizing New York cuisine, and then they go and eat this or whatever. It's like, yeah, it's banging. It's the best.
Yeah, that's why they call it banging beans. But I don't think that we criticize New York's cuisine, do we?
No, I've never been to New York, nor would I.
I've not been to New York, but I don't mind a slice, Simon. I don't mind a slice.
Now, this is just for you because it won't really work on Audible, but we've learned baked beans and toast in sign language. So baked beans are like picking lots of little beans, or you do two bees. You're not looking. Toast, this is cute. Toast in, toaster up, or possibly vice versa, I forget.
Well, that's one for our deaf community who can't listen to this and can't see that. Thank you, Simon, for teaching everyone. We should probably explain what this podcast is. I mean, I guess we kind of have. It's just us talking.
Yeah, I mean, it's been less than a year since we did one. Our longest gap has been 2 years, I think. So.
But this is our special pre-calendar edition.
Oh, is it? Okay, great. Mm. Yeah.
If this comes out pre-calendar, which I'll be honest.
Canada does currently exist. We should be clear on that. But
it does. You can't argue with that. But we are going to it, as you say. You could call it.
Well, you mentioned Joni Mitchell, especially. So
there you go. You could call it our Canadian tour, if you will, because we're hitting up
three places. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I am. You're going to two places, but
I was counting Banff as a separate place.
Oh, I'm going to four places then.
Boom!
Look at that. Has anyone been to more Canadian cities than we're going to?
I don't think Banff is a city.
Well, North Americans love calling stuff city, don't they?
Do they? I know they love calling villages towns, but I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're right, Simon. It's not a city. Banff is not a city. We're breaking the news here on Peas in the Podcast.
Latest on Banff, not a city.
Banff,
sorry,
there
Banff.
It is.
They don't have the whole like cathedral definition that we have.
Oh, I always get bugged when people are like, jump to cathedral definitions. I get Banff or something. Because we've got lots of fine cities that don't have cathedrals, including the
You're going to say Wolverhampton.
That is Wolverhampton.
No one likes Wolverhampton, and it only became a city like 2024 or something, didn't it?
I think it became a city in, well, it's a Millennium City, but I think maybe it wasn't exactly 2000. It might have taken a little while to get through. So.
And the way it was phrased at the time did seem to be like the Queen had a burning passion to make it a city.
The Queen loved Wolverhampton.
The Queen has never been to Wolverhampton.
The Queen has never expressed a view on anything. That's right. I'm coming after her.
I don't think anyone likes Wolverhampton as such. Like, no one's like, oh, should we go to Wolverhampton? Are they?
I mean, I have done that many times, but I don't think I've ever been to Wolverhampton except to go to the football.
Imagine if you just went for a day out to Wolverhampton. If you're like, oh, what should we do? We could go to Bourton on the Water, or we could go to Wolverhampton.
Have you ever been to Wolverhampton Art Gallery? It's not great, if I'm honest. Pretty bad.
I don't think I have, no.
No, it's pretty bad. But it's free. Free entry.
Okay. Well, the price is right.
Yeah. Well, this is the segment I like to call magnets. You know how I like to buy magnets? I have a fridge covered in magnets. I did not buy a magnet from Wolverhampton Art Gallery because A, the art gallery was pretty bad, and B, the magnet was really expensive.
Okay, because you do normally have a very low bar. Like
I do. Don't seem such to have a low bar.
Particularly enjoyed the experience.
No, absolutely.
Like a magnet.
No, I will buy a magnet from pretty much anywhere, and it might be the only place that I've not bought a magnet from. I'm not spending £15 on a magnet from a place that I'm instantly forgetting. But No, carry on.
How many magnets do you think you're going to buy in Canada this time?
Well, that's what I was going to say. So many magnets, Simon. In fact, you've seen my spreadsheet itinerary, and two of the things I'm doing after you leave are just going back to places we've been to in Toronto before to buy magnets. I'm just going to go to the shop and buy a magnet.
Is it the hockey gallery?
I mean, I'm going to buy a magnet from the... I've got my ticket for the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Who have you?
Exciting times.
Yeah, I guess if you knew any hockey players, it'd be even more exciting. I guess you can learn about them there.
Austin Matthews, Simon, the pride of Toronto Maple Leafs.
This is a shout out. Not sponsored by Austin Matthews, as far as I'm aware.
No, also I'm not entirely sure I've got his name right, but I think that's right.
He strikes me as someone who might spell Matthews with one T, which always gets my goat.
Does it?
Yeah, there's some...
You hear that? My friend there. Matt Pratt, who spells his name with a single T? Simon's after you.
Is his surname Pratt?
Mm-hmm. With two T's.
Well, you think his life's already hard enough? Why would he suck spelling his name with Matt with one T? He's like, I had a boss who did this. It's like, grow up, actually. Like, Matt with one T isn't a name. It's a floor covering.
Right. Yeah,
actually, could you grow up?
I don't think he chose his name.
But his name's definitely not Matt with one T.
His name's Matthew with one T.
No, it's not. He did that himself when he was 13 and was like, I want to be different.
I don't think he did.
You remember the time that I decided that my name would be spelt without the final N but still pronounced Simon? Do you remember that?
I don't remember that. I remember for a while you wanted to be called Simi but spelled Simmy, which is definitely Simmy.
Some people still do that, I guess. Oh. Simon with an X was a consideration for a while.
You want to be Simo, but pronounced Simon?
Yeah.
I have no recollection of that, no.
I used to sign my name without the final N for a while, but I'd be like, but it is pronounced Simon. I think I just wanted something. Because at that age, everyone's like, I got to jazz up my name somehow.
You want to stand out somehow, yeah. And by and making it look like you forgot to write your whole name is definitely the way to do that.
Whereas now, actually, my friend Joe does call me Simo, so yeah, but it's about the way you'd expect.
Well, let's run through the nicknames that people have for his son. What else you got?
Okay. Well, what I quite like is that you can do any length of my name. I mean, not many people call me S, but people do call me Si, Sim, Simo, or Simon. So
okay, that's pretty cool.
Any length of those. You call me Jack sometimes for reasons.
I mean, that was, again, quite a long time ago. I still do it sometimes, I suppose, but not very often.
Phoebe calls me Bill, short for Billinge, because she thinks it's funny that I was born in Billinge.
Yeah, it's pretty
also
funny.
Short for Shakespeare. Well, William.
Thank you. Thank you for unpacking that for me. I was trying to remember which Shakespeare you were talking about. Is it Craig Shakespeare, former manager of Leicester City? No, you've never heard of that person.
I haven't, no. What names do people call you, Colin?
Well, my family calls me Col, and your friends call me Col because they think everyone does because they've heard you do it, which I always think is funny.
Is there no one else calls you Col?
Not really, no. Mm. Which, I mean, I welcome it. People who are listening, feel free to call me Col. There's a small number of people, like from my first home group, church home group, in when I moved to Bristol, who call me CJ.
Oh, yeah, we used to get that, and that is weird.
Like, yeah, I never, I mean, I don't think of myself as CJ. I never invited it, but it was, you know, it was fine. But, it was just when they, I don't, for some reason, they asked what my middle name was, and I was like, CJ. And then it just stuck. So there's like four people who call me CJ. And I used to work with a guy who called me K Dog. I think, just to annoy me, I think.
Okay. I mean, it's a good motivation.
Yeah.
It informs a lot of my decision making.
Sure. I mean, again, fine. I don't see a lot of him these days, but when I do.
I call you Cogs.
Oh, yeah, Cogs. Collie Wobbles was for a little while. Never while, really appreciated that one, no.
Yeah, there's. I do have one friend at work actually calls me Simi still, or Simi T.
Oh, yeah.
Suki. You might have met her at my fire team.
Who calls you Suki?
My friend Suki.
The old bait and switch. I'm not sure that is a bait and switch.
I was baited by that particularly. Not lured in any way. I'm like, oh, tell me more.
I gotta say, much though I love the old bait and switch, I love it. What I love really is just referring to any joke as the old bait and switch after the fact.
Yeah, it's like I hate pranks, love referring to things that aren't pranks as pranks.
Yeah. Classic pranks. I think you have to call them a classic prank.
I also like just saying when someone's giving me serious news or something that is just, I don't know, I'll just be like, but it is a prank, right? That's always fun.
Okay.
Not like super serious, not if they're like, I'm dying. But...
I was a friend yesterday whose father has recently died, said to me that their friend arrived a week early for the funeral, which I then said, what, were they still alive? Which I felt was, in the moment, a good joke, but then I thought maybe I shouldn't have done
how
that.
How recently had their dad died?
Well, I hadn't actually put two and two together that it was their dad's funeral, therefore I was talking about, because I kind of assumed it already happened, because it was a little while ago.
Okay. Yeah, anyway. Well, it's a good gag. What are we going to do? Not tell a good gag?
I mean, frequently I tell gags that are not good. It's a numbers game, Simon. It's a numbers game. Yeah, no, if you throw all the dots on the board, you're going to hit triple 20 sooner or later.
I guess so. What are you doing, Smugglesman? Yeah, I know. You'll know this story, but when I was at home, as in mum and dad's home, when I think I was having university, was answering the phone to someone who said that she wanted to arrange funerals for both her parents. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, do you know? Do you know when you want the funerals to be? And she said, oh, they're not dead yet.
Like, it's good to get ahead of these things.
Yeah, I'd say it's putting the cart before the
hearse. Yeah. You've done that joke before, haven't you?
I actually haven't. It was spontaneous and I was trying to remember the word hearse. In the middle of it.
That's a good gag.
It actually worked much better than I expected it to.
So. Oh, that is a very good joke.
Yeah. Yeah, gosh, and I tell that story quite often, but I've never thought to add that line to it before. So no,
that is, next time you tell that one, as long as you've written the word hearse on your hand, just to make sure that you...
Yeah, I think it needed less of a sort of long pause in the middle. I'll cut it out in the edit. You know, Hargreaves, you are rubbing your head against the microphone, which is probably not helpful. Can you hear Hargreaves being like in the way?
I mean, we heard him meowing a little while ago.
Did you meow like a smush cat? He's got a lot of nicknames.
Now, son, this podcast, we like to address the key political issues of the day, don't we?
Oh, invariably and indubitably.
Yeah. So what about this Andy Burnham, eh? Oof.
Is he like the mayor of Manchester or something?
He is the mayor of Manchester or something. Maybe Greater Manchester?
I will be honest with you, Colin, and I hope this is okay to come with radical candor.
Here we go. This is Simon's honesty minute.
For a minute. I have decided to not pay any attention to politics anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And okay. I recognize.
How much were you paying attention before?
Well, like for a while.
A reasonable amount, I suppose. Yeah.
Avidly. And then it was mostly when Trump. when Trump became president for the second time, I was just like, I'm getting out of the game. I'm no longer paying any attention to it. It was also partly, partly because I felt just like generally less anxious when we had a Labour prime minister. So I was like, I don't need to worry too much about this country. I can just sign out of it. So I've not really kept up with how Keir Starmer is doing, but I assume beloved and popular. But
I mean, no. No, I'm going to have to break it to you. He is, apparently, according to polling, apparently the least popular prime minister ever. Although I'm assuming they didn't start this in with Robert Peel or something. Not Peel, he was Robert Walpole.
Horace Walpole?
I don't know who Horace Walpole is, but Robert Walpole was...
I know Hugh Walpole, rather. Hugh Walpole. I know he's a writer as well. Horace Walpole, Hugh Walpole, both writers. Robert Walpole was prime minister, that's right.
Yes. Well, that's a lot
of, you know Horace Walpole. Walpole? He wrote The Castle of Otranto. Come on.
I don't know The Castle of Otranto, I'm afraid.
Do you actually not know The Castle of Otranto?
No, son, I don't know The Castle of Otranto.
Something Dad hasn't said for a while, but you just say quite a lot. It's like, I'm always surprised by the things you don't know.
Yeah. I'm never surprised.
Works of Gothic literature.
I'm never surprised by the way that you think wildly unfamous books are known by everyone in the country.
It's The Castle of Otranto.
Mm-hmm.
It's like saying you don't know The Heirs of Radcliffe. But anyway.
The Heirs of Radcliffe. Okay, here's a fun game, Zion. Fun game. I need to guess whether it's heirs as in H-E-I-R-S or heirs as in A-I-R-S.
Okay, it's a long game, is it?
Wow, you've really put me on the spot here. I mean,
I don't think I put you on the spot.
This is for the car.
Providing the car?
It's going to be your car. I've already forgotten the rest of the title. I'm going to say H-E-I-R-S. I think it's the heirs. I think we're talking about some sort of dynastic combat.
I've not actually read it, so I don't know what it's about. But what would you say the most famous work of Gothic literature is, if not Castle of Otranto?
I would say Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
I guess it inherits the Gothic more than being Gothic, but yeah. Mysteries of Udolpho. Right. I'll give you Mysteries of Udolpho. You've heard of Mysteries of Udolpho, right?
I think it might have cropped up in Northanger Abbey. Maybe.
And this is a gentleman who writes crossroads for the Times Literary Supplement.
So. I wrote one yesterday.
They'll all know what the Castle of Otranto is.
I'll put it into my next Times Literary Supplement crossword. The Castle of Otranto.
Okay. Anyway, yeah.
I'd say Frankenstein is more famous than those things.
Yeah, no, that's. I'll give you Frankenstein.
Well, fun fact, son. Did you know that Frankenstein? Okay, hear me out here. You won't know this. You won't have heard this before.
Okay.
Because you know how everyone thinks Frankenstein is like the big lumbering monster with like the bolt through the neck and stuff. Frankenstein's actually the name of the doctor.
Well, I'm going to stop you there, Colin.
Oh yeah. I had stopped, in fairness.
Let me interrupt. Right. Okay. I hate to cut you off.
No, please.
He's not actually the doctor. He is the trainee doctor. He is not yet qualified.
Is that true? That is
a fun thing to say when people are pedantic about it.
That is a sweet fact.
Yeah. Simon's boring book.
Simon's sweet fact myth. I read it. Not a fan.
Yeah. No, really dull. I don't love a framed narrative.
No, me neither. Also, it's just so illogical. I know I've told you this. My complaints about Frankenstein many times over the last 20 years.
You just don't think
people
generally could build people out of nuts and bolts?
No, I think that's fine. Okay. He's like, oh, I've made life. Oh, but it's a bit ugly. I better swoon. And then he's like, oh, I've just heard that my cousin's been killed. I bet it was that monster I made. It's like, why? Why would it be? But I mean, it is. But like, how on earth, why would it be this thing? Why would that have happened? Dummy. No wonder he didn't qualify.
Yeah, we might have done after the book finished 2 days. But yeah.
So do you think Canada's ready for a sign? Do you think Canada's ready for the Thomas Boys on tour?
Yikes. Well, Dairy Queen might not be, based on how much Dairy Queen I'm planning to eat.
Yeah, it's Dairy Queen pretty hard. Yeah, they love a Dairy Queen. Well, we've never been to Dairy Queen in the summer months before. So
be nice that's true, actually.
Nice to go when other people are eating ice cream as well.
Well, it was very warm last time we were there.
It was, in fairness. Yeah. But like when I went to one in Rhode Island, like on this cold autumn day, and no one else going near the place. It's like, one. Ice cream for me, please.
I did eat one in the rain at Niagara Falls.
So. That is true. That is true.
Yeah, I've not looked at the forecast recently, so I don't know how warm it'll actually be in these places. But I do remember trying to sign up to Dairy Queen, like loyalty thing when I was there last time, because they were like, we can get money off if you do that, and then it wouldn't let me because you have to have a Canadian or American address. Like, I'll just pay full price.
Yeah, I am. When I went to Cheesecake Factory in Boston, they came very close to not serving me because I didn't have a US phone number. But it's like, I'm right here. Can't you just sell me that cheesecake that's right there? Which they did, what? In fairness, in the end. But they seemed quite reluctant. And the fact that it was my second time at Cheesecake Factory in that visit, and they'd done it fine previously.
Why do they need anyone's phone number?
I don't know. I was just like, I'm prepared to answer these questions, but if it's literally like 2 meters away from me, I don't think you need to phone me. I guess it makes sense if, like, because it took quite a while to arrive because they had a backlog of orders. So I guess maybe if people kind of wander off for a bit and they need to be phoned to come back when it's ready or something. But it's like, I'm not leaving. I'll just sat right there.
And I saw you post a photo with some recently. Did you find some in the UK?
No, this is the montage of times I've eaten Cheesecake Factory cheesecake.
You're right.
But yeah, as I pointed out in that Instagram selection, I've been to Cheesecake Factory. Well, in Los Angeles. I don't have any photos of Los Angeles. That was the first time. Was it Los Angeles? Somewhere in California. We went in Toronto. I've been in Boston. I've been in Bellevue. I've been in Chicago. But and most of those times, I've been twice. And yeah, I've only ever bought two different of the like 50 cheesecakes or something. I always just go for the Oreo Dream or the cookie dough lovers.
Well, this is true with so many things. Like, I want to try new things, but also imagine if it's less good than the one that I know is reliable.
Because we don't have Cheesecake Factory in the UK, so I'm not going to be like going there much. And it's like, yeah, I could get one that I like experimenting, or I could just go one that I know I love that I'm also not going to have for another year or something.
Yeah, or I could eat two, I guess.
But I've got my two that I like.
No, that's true. I can't remember which one I did have last time. Was it cookie dough? Because I've only been once.
Yeah, we shared those two, basically.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah, I certainly won't be getting savoury food at a Cheesecake Factory again, but the cheesecake was great. I mean, the food was nice that I had, but it was underwhelming. But
yeah,
famously, I ordered a side of corn because I wanted corn on the cob, and they gave me cream corn with, I would say, an entire can of double cream in it.
Yeah. I have had nicer food than we had at that point. I think it depends where you look on the menu.
I was shocked by how poor it was for vegetarians. It's like, guys, you're in Canada. You're meant to be cool.
Yeah, so that's one of the things, Simon, that's going to happen on our Canadian trip, is that I've agreed, well, not even agreed, I suggested for some reason, that I would go to a vegetarian restaurant with you.
I know, and I now wonder if you did that because you realise how few they have, because I was looking them up and like, where do they even have vegetarian restaurants?
No, I didn't know that. I just thought, I mean, I mainly did it because I thought, well, it'd be a nice thing to do together, but also, I'm there for a week after you've gone, so I can make up for it, is the phrase I've used, and I maintain that phrase. Because I'm thinking, like, there's various things that I can do, like restaurants I can go to, certainly, that we wouldn't go to if we were both there. Because, like, they don't do vegetarian options, or they don't do many. And so I will be hitting them pretty hard after you've gone.
Yeah, sure. I need to look up again. I thought, Hungary's very much in the way. I did look at mostly Vancouver, because I thought Vancouver's got a more chill vibe than Calgary, and therefore more likely to... Calgary's in Alberta. Alberta's not going to have vegetarian restaurants, but...
No, I mean, Calgary's big on, like, rodeo and stuff.
Yeah, I think it's... Yeah, it seemed less likely, although I could only find, like, 4 vegetarian restaurants in Vancouver, and some of those were, like... They look bad, but it might be one good thing.
Yeah, no, I'm assuming they'll be bad. How often do you go to vegetarian restaurants?
Almost never, I guess. Yeah. So, as far as I know, there's only one that I can think of in Oxford, which is the new Indian vegetarian place that is amazing. But I don't think there was a vegetarian restaurant before. The vegetarian pub, which we've been to, but I've not been to for ages.
I often tell people, I probably did on this podcast.
You don't need the story. But in London, often I will, just because if I'm meeting up with a friend, then they will suggest going to a vegetarian place.
Will they? Really nice. Will they? I mean, I know I've done this, but I still think it's kind of nuts. Because, like, it's on holiday list. I'm sure you'd like it. But, like, yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll have a great time.
But I don't want to pick one that will make you realize that vegetarian food can be nice.
I mean, as I said, it's extraordinarily rare that I've had a vegetarian dish and haven't thought, well, yeah, you've nearly nailed this, but chuck some bacon on, mate.
What a sophisticated palate you have.
But, a phrase I might use when we're there.
Do not do that.
Although, do Canadians call each other mate? Feels quite a British thing.
Do British people call each other mate, is my question.
And the answer is yes. Yeah. I know you're insistent that you will never do it, but...
I do call people pal now, although I do know it well. I only call my actual friends pal. I don't call strangers pal because they're not my pal. Mm-hmm. I just believe in truth. That's my thing. Like,
wow, fresh take.
Yeah, I don't want to lie to people.
Well, I say cheers a lot, and I can't stop myself doing it, really. And in there's North America.
Cheers.
No, but in North America, they don't say it. So I think it confuses people.
What do they say? Sup? Is it sup?
I think they say sup.
I'm trying to think what American says. Thank you. Oh, Canadian,
I think they just say thank you, don't they?
Thank you. Yeah, I can't think of anything else off the top of my head.
Although, as Alex Hall and Greg Davis recently pointed out, in America, if you say thank you, they will say of course, which is weird.
They do, of course.
Weird thing.
I also
do.
Find that when I say, like, can I have or may I have in restaurants, and they say of course, and it's like, I wasn't really doubting they would let me have it. You've made it sound. Like, but how so? Yeah. I say, I don't want to say like I want or just like please give me. So
I'll have, maybe.
They do like saying I'll have in America, or I'll take one of those.
But the most exciting thing, sign about our Canadian trip, as I'm sure you agree, is the World Cup is happening. It's going to do.
The what, sorry?
Sorry, the FIFA Men's World Cup.
Thank you. One of the only thing I do at work is insist people put men's in front of it when we do stuff about it at work.
Oh yeah, everyone must love you. And
it's got divided opinions.
Has it? In fairness, I imagine some people will be on your side on this.
One person messaged me, who she actually left, and she got an email which mentioned it, and she mentioned being like, I'm so pleased that you're doing this. So,
yeah. Okay. Well then, Sian, you're fighting the good fight. Do you insist that it says football as well, rather than just World Cup? Because it feels like that's another thing where it's being imprecise.
No, that doesn't feel like we're breaking any glass ceilings. So.
Oh, you're breaking glass ceilings, are you?
Yeah, just me. You're welcome, ladies. But someone at work was like, I don't like football, but I love women's sport, so I support them. It's like, I don't get it. Like, it's still sport. It's still so boring. Like, why are we interested? Because it's women.
Well, I'm not, sorry, and I tend not to watch a lot of women's football. I've seen a couple of women's games.
You should be as interested in women's football as men's football. Sure. I'm equally uninterested in both.
I'd say I'm as interested in women's football as I am in under-21s football. Is that something that's going to get us cancelled? Well, not us. More me.
Yeah. Look, I find the fan base of women's football and possibly under-21s football, I don't know, sure. Less toxic than the fan base.
It's certainly higher pitched. Having gone to Wembley to see England versus USA in the women's football, the kind of the general hubbub that you get at a football stadium was at a higher octave.
Interesting. Do you feel unsafe when you're at a football match?
No. No, I mean, have I ever? I mean, there was one time when I was not that far away from some fan, well, like three or four fans trying to have a bit of a fight. But even then, I didn't think they were going to clamber over to get to me. No. Occasionally, when I've been wearing the away team's scarf in the vicinity of the ground, maybe. But even then, most people just don't care.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, I find groups of men quite unsettling at the best of times, I suppose. But
In Chicago, when I went to see Chicago Blackhawks versus Toronto Maple Leafs, and I was wearing my Toronto cap in the middle of Chicago fans, it was quite weird that everyone was just like, "Hey, how you doing, mate? Great to see you." and asking me, well, one guy is like, "What's your guys' goal music?" I was like, "I don't know, mate. I don't know what's going on."
Yeah. So does it? What does that tell you about the toxicity of Wolfens?
So it tells me that the passion runs deep. But I would not attack a fellow football fan, unless they're a West Brom fan, in which case they had it coming, Simon, for supporting West Brom.
Right. Okay.
Apart from my vicar, he's a lovely man.
I do.
But whilst I'm, you are leaving the day before the World Cup begins.
Yeah, I love telling people that.
there is no escaping the fact that when we're in Vancouver, it's going to be covered in football stuff.
Yeah, I guess we've got this lovely apartment that potentially I just won't leave. I'll deliver you Dairy Queen in the door.
Even because not on Robson Street. We were going to be on Robson Street, and that fell through, didn't it? But Robson Street's got some sort of football sculptures just gone up. I follow a lot of Vancouver and Toronto Instagram accounts, and they're really going hard on the decorations and stuff. There's going to be
people are going to assume that I'm there for the football, aren't they? Because they're like, it's a British person come just before the World Cup.
Yeah, and I'll be wearing a football shirt standing right next to you. So.
And I'll just have to be like, excuse me, I'm here for Dairy Queen books and cultural experiences.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to buying so much football merch. So much.
You still thinking you're not taking any hold luggage, right?
Correct, yeah.
How much merch are you going to buy?
Well, I might throw up my other stuff. Okay, I was going to go back with a bag full of merch. No clothing. I mean, obviously a lot of the merch will be clothing.
I threw away my underwear in America one time so I could fit more books in.
More books in, yeah. But I mean, if I just buy FIFA-related clothing, I can just wear that.
Yeah, no, it makes sense in a way.
And they're doing different branded stuff for every host city zone, so I'll be able to get Vancouver stuff and Toronto stuff. It's going to be great.
Not FIFA in an attempt to get more money, shocker.
Look at this. This guy, he's switched off from politics, but he's hitting the FIFA satire pretty hard.
I've been watching 2026. Although, as mentioned, I did watch episode 4 first by mistake, which is...
Oh, yeah.
You've watched it. Maybe some listeners have. It's the one where the blonde lady is trying to, like,
I've got to say your campaigning on behalf of women is taking a bit of a backseat. It's gone back a couple of paces when you said it, the blonde lady.
But she's doing an interview to try and make up for having talked about wooden condoms, which the reference to wooden condoms was an episode I'd not seen. I just went with it. I was just like, sure, it's a flashback to something that they're not explaining. It genuinely didn't cross my mind that it wasn't the first episode until weeks later. What, days later?
Weeks? What?
Days when I went back to watch the next episode. I was like, I didn't watch episode 1.
I mean, it seems weird that iPlayer would be like, you want to watch episode 4? Sure, let's load that one up for you.
Yeah, well, I clicked on, like, maybe it was like Next On or something. So maybe it was the next one that they're actually showing on BBC 2 or wherever they're showing it.
Who's the star of that show?
Hugh Bonneville.
Oh, you know his name. You know the man's name. That's was a big old trap that you fell right in.
Yeah, it was. I can't actually remember the character's name. Is he called Ian?
Ian Fletcher, I want to say.
Ian Fletcher.
I mean, I'm covering up the fact that I also don't know the name of the blonde woman.
I don't know any of the other characters' names. We've got Sweary American. We've got the, I want to say, Swiss guy. I don't know. I thought I had his name for a second, but no.
Jean Claude, probably. Christian. That could be Christian.
I've got a notes app on my phone.
Okay.
Where I put down notes for things to talk about in pieces of podcasts that I've not looked at.
Here we go.
I guess.
Ooh. So, this is Simon's Back in the Vault.
I don't know why this is happening. Some of these might be huge contradictory topics. Some of them might.
No. Okay.
Vegan halloumi. Vegan halloumi. This is a story.
This is a story. Okay. Right. This story is called Vegan Halloumi. Halloumi already the most vegetarian food there is. And we're going for a vegan kind.
You know what it's not? It's vegan. So I went. Sure. This is probably a year ago. I went out for lunch with my friend Catherine, also vegetarian, and they got panini, and I ordered a panino with, nice. And it just said halloumi.
Halloumo. Okay, carry on.
Yeah, maybe actually. I ordered it And then after I'd ordered it,
I think this story has really been brought down to bite-sized chunks. Okay.
There's not much to the story, if I'm honest. I'm trying to geek it out.
I walked in through the door. I took a seat. I perused the menu.
Having paid for it with my card.
Sure. Did you go contactless or did you go chip and pin?
I think I was contactless. I'm a contactless boy now. Okay. I can't use it on my phone. I don't know how to do that. But
come back to that. Okay. So you've paid for this this halloumi. We know that it's supposed to be just like vegetarian halloumi. Fine. Okay.
They sent the order and then I saw a little note being like, oh, it says vegan. Mm. It's got a little V next to it for vegan. And she's like, oh, yeah, it's vegan halloumi. I was like, what? You can't just do it that subtly. Catherine had also ordered it. We got it. It was disgusting. It smelled, the smell was the worst part. It smelled like a sort of burning petrol.
Right.
It didn't taste anything like halloumi. It didn't have the texture of halloumi. It was just like, it was the good color of halloumi. I'll give them that.
Because the texture of halloumi is the worst. I mean, like, halloumi, I've had some nice halloumi, like, it's quite easy to do very badly.
What?
I mean, okay. I mean, like, I've had, like, if you do halloumi wrong, it's just like eating rubber.
No, but I think I like that, though.
All right, okay.
That's the vegan halloumi story.
This is how normal people, forgive me, feel when they order some food and it turns out you're vegetarian. You've just been vegetarian.
Well, but the thing is, like, if someone orders a meal, it's very unlikely that they're going to be tricked. Like, if someone put, I don't know, steak.
Mm.
And then it came and was like, oh, sorry, we forgot to mention it's vegetarian steak. Like, I think if they said vegan halloumi, it'd be fine. I just wouldn't have ordered it. Or might have ordered it out of curiosity.
I mean, the only time this happened to me is that when I ordered what was on the board, I thought it said chicken curry, but actually it was chickpea curry.
Oh, that sounds lovely. Possibly.
I mean, I don't mind chickpeas with other stuff, but like, no one wants just like a dish of chickpeas.
Was that the main? Yeah. I do a good cauliflower, chickpea, and butternut squash curry, but that's, you know.
Anyway, that place is closed down now. Probably direct result. So,
next up, cable stickers. Do you interrupt with your own stories if you want.
Cable stickers. What are cable stickers?
Well, I'll tell you because I'm right by them. Because I'm in bed. In my drawer, here's a cable. It's got a sticker on it saying hair trimmer. Basically, I was so sick of every time I wanted to charge something, just trying every single cable, I put stickers on them. With what they charge. Isn't that a great idea?
Well done. That's a good idea, yeah. I don't know why you put it on the cable rather than on the plug.
Well, because the plugs are all detachable. They're all USB things. That's saved me a long time. I've got a lot of cables. I don't know what they do.
Oh, so we're plugging this one.
Crumble. I've just written the word crumble. I don't know what that was about. Any thoughts on crumble?
I like an oaty crumble. I think probably what you're going to say, Simon, and if so, I agree with you, is that a lot of crumble is too heavy on the fruit, too light on the crumble. Mm. You're like, people are like, oh, I've made this like apple and blackberry crumble. It's like, great. And then it's just basically like stewed apples and blackberries with a, like, a thin layer of crumble. It's like, no, I want a third crumble probably.
I was going to say minimum 40%. I wouldn't be sad if it was 50%.
Yeah. Have you ever had just like a dish of crumble? I feel like that probably
is basically like that. So.
Well, I reckon. I mean, I wouldn't want you to bowl of crumble, but a bowl of crumble with some ice cream, maybe, not definitely. I don't really misquote.
I've only made like three crumbles in my life.
I've made zero crumbles. I think
I made one. Maybe this is a story I meant to tell, but it happened 5 years ago, so probably not. I made a really nice peach and a ginger crumble, and then I tried to make it again a few days later or a few weeks later or something, but I'd misremembered that it was peach and made it with apricot instead. And apricots, if you cook them, basically just dissolve, so there's no chunks in it, and they're far too sweet for the amount of sugar you put with them if they were peaches. But so I brought this to a bring and share meal, which and it tasted nice, but it was too sweet and too liquidy, and everyone was very nice. And then maybe like an hour later, after we finished eating, my friend Nana said out of nowhere, Simon, do you mind if I give you some feedback about your crumble?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, fine. She's like, it was hard to eat.
I mean, I don't know. How is that helpful at that stage?
Yeah, I know. Like, because it's Nana, and I don't mind because she's totally unpredictable and hilarious. But she also, I think it was the same meal, was cross with me that I had not brought chicken. She's like, you promised you'd bring chicken. It's like, Nana, why did you think I'd bring chicken? I've never made chicken.
I'm with Nana on this one. Always bring chicken. ABC.
That's for. Nice. She did bring chicken to a previous meal, Christmas meal, because whilst there was meat in the meal, we had like pigs and blankets, the main part of the meal was a vegetarian Wellington, and she was like, I can't have that. So she had a rotisserie chicken she just brought with her to eat.
I mean, Nana sounds like she knows what's going on, but I just wouldn't go to that meal.
You wouldn't go to your small group Christmas meal because the main part of it was vegetarian.
Yeah, well, certainly I would argue strenuously against that. And I mean, I'm not sure I'd go so far as to bring a chicken myself, but I would argue in favour of someone else bringing a chicken or making a chicken.
There were pigs in blankets.
Yeah, as there must be. But I mean, I can't... That's okay. Let's talk through this, Simon, and go through one of our most favoured arguments. How many people in this home group meal, roughly?
Six, probably.
Six. How many vegetarian?
One.
That's insane. That is the most. I was expecting you, like, if you'd said three, I wouldn't have agreed with it, but I've understood it. Four, no. Five, I'd think Nana needs to find herself a better group. But one vegetarian, and you forced everyone to ruin Christmas for your own benefit.
It wasn't my idea to do the vegetarian Wellington.
Sure.
Someone who was hosting was like, oh, I'll do a vegetarian Wellington. It was just her idea because she's a nice person.
I mean, this story, which you have told as isn't Nana weird, is 100% Nana's the only sane one in this group story.
So when someone said to me, well, how do you consider I'll make a vegetarian Wellington, what should I have done? Be like, no, I won't let you do that. You must eat chicken.
So if it were I, I don't drink alcohol, so I should know. And yes. if it's Christmas thing and it's like, well, let's just do soft drinks because you don't drink alcohol, I'd be like, that's mad. What are you talking about? You drink what you want. I appreciate it's slightly different having drinks compared to main
meal. And that's why there were pigs in blankets for people who couldn't cope without eating meat for a whole meal.
It's Christmas meal. Why do you want to ruin... I see. It's a culture thing.
So, notice I've written down. there's quite a lot more. You know when you see something that's like, don't park in front of my driveway, and there's written polite notice on the top of it? It's like, that's actually for me to decide, not you.
I mean, this doesn't feel so much like podcast material as it does for your stand-up special. But only if your stand-up was like in the 80s when people had just discovered observational comedy.
You'll like this one.
Okay. I was expecting you to go on a bit of a riff. I'm like, whatever it said, you know, rule notice. Yeah?
It didn't seem to be being received very well. I thought you'd be more on board. But you'll like this one because it's not observational comedy. It's more just being grumpy.
Oh, I do like that. Okay.
No one respects the quiet carriage. No one respects him.
No, and I don't want to name names, Simon, but a friend of yours, I once on Facebook had this whole thing about how it's absurd that people tolerate, that people want the quiet carriage to be quiet because she's there because other seats were not available. And I was like, I've always respected Mel until that moment.
Yeah, I think I wrote on that comment, or maybe said to her in person, and be like, no, that's nonsense.
I mean, I'm very rarely on the quiet carriage, so I didn't know that this was being widely.
Well, I tried to go to it because I want to read without people being noisy near me. And one of my favourite interactions, which I may have told you, but not the pod about, was years and years ago when I sat between, I don't know, they were near me, this girl, maybe like 20, on the phone quite loudly.
And this old just couple, another woman whose name you don't know, carry on.
This old couple, or two old ladies, I think, next to each other.
Oh man, and this just keeps coming, doesn't it?
Muriel said to Maynard, very loudly, oh, I thought we were in the quiet carriage. And the woman on the phone was like, oh, people are saying it's a quiet carriage, I better go. So they had no interaction with each other. They just passively aggressively announced.
That's pretty good.
Their take on it.
That's pretty good. Yeah, no, I think I'm a big rule follower, as you know, so I think we should follow rules. And I was saying,
love to follow a rule.
Well, I was saying this to a friend. I was like, yeah, no, I do it, but only if I think the rule is sensible. And I was like, I don't think rules work if everyone individually tries to decide whether the rule is appropriate or not. And I'm not doing a whole kind of like only following orders fascism thing. I'm not, Simon. I could see it in your eyes. You thought I was doing that. I'm not doing
it. Well, it's always good if you have to clarify that.
I'm not a fascist. I'm anti-fascism. Simon.
Are you part of Antifa?
No, I'm also anti them.
Anti-anti-fascist.
I'm anti-Antifa. I think you can't just... It's one of those things that you can't just name yourself something. It's like, right? And then you say, well, if you're against...
Patriot tax. What? Tell that to the Democratic People's Republic of North Korea.
Just because we might get letters from people who are eagerly following American politics in the 2000s, it's the Patriot Act rather than Patriot tax.
Oh, I'm so sorry. So sorry.
But no, exactly. Yeah. Although it stood for something, didn't it? Like, proper Americans taking... I don't know.
It's a good stand-up special by Hasan Minhaj as well. So,
Now, Simon, before we started recording, I did start saying something. I said, no, that's a great anecdote I'll save for the pod.
You did. I saved my final three things on my list.
And now I think about it, it's not a great anecdote.
Well, no, but no one thought it would be. It's okay.
I was at an improv show the other day.
Watching?
Watching. Had some friends of mine in it. And they were playing Gods. It was a show called Gods. And one of them was the god of cheesy garlic bread. And they'd accidentally turned their flat into bread. And they said the line, "I've turned our flat into bread." And no one, Simon, not they, not anyone else on stage, said, "Ah, flatbread." Like, how would you have that set up and not finish it off?
I'm not saying that all out for that.
Not all jokes have to be puns, but come on, I can't have been the only one in the audience going like, "Well, say flatbread."
It's amazing that you thought that anecdote was worth saving. I'll say that, but you know, yeah. I mean, I'm totally with you. You're not wrong, and you're right. In fact,
but what am I supposed to do? Like, I couldn't have shouted flatbread from the audience because then I'm a prat, and everyone hates that guy.
Yeah. Do you think it's not prattish to bring it up on the podcast later?
Maybe.
But no, you're right. You should have yelled flatbread.
I once went to see Lauren Graham talking about her book, which, due to the weirdnesses of doing a US tour and a UK tour, I'd already bought and read the book several months earlier. But she was doing like this book tour thing. And obviously most of the questions about Gilmore Girls were like one or two about the book. But at one point, she was talking about, maybe some actor she'd worked with or previous romantic partner or something. And someone from the audience shouted out, 3, 2, 1, he's yours, which is a reference to a line, well, it is a line from Gilmore Girls. Okay. And they were sat just on my row, but like, just met with entire silence throughout the room. And then after a little pause, Lauren Graham's like, "Did I just get cursed or something?" And it was the most embarrassing thing I've ever witnessed,
oh
I think.
Gosh.
And
then you don't want to be that guy.
At a slightly smaller volume, she was done up. It's from the show. And it's like, come on.
Is it like a big line from the show? Is it like a fan fave?
I mean, I think most people in the room probably recognise it. They just didn't think it was funny. Obviously, Lauren Graham had forgotten that line. But
not to tell a story about how I was funny, but here it is.
Simon's funny segment.
And in a similar environment, I saw a very bad, or quite bad, production of Two Gentlemen of Verona a while ago.
William Shakespeare, go on.
Thank you. And not one of his better known, or indeed better, plays. And it does involve a woman dressing up as a man for a long period of time.
Classic Shakespeare, sure.
Yeah. Just by, you know, putting a hat on. And there's a big moment where she like reveals her identity. And takes off the hat.
Men be wearing hats, Simon. That's what we do.
Oh my gosh, we're obsessed. We can't stop. But she took off the hat and I gasped loudly at this point. And it got a big laugh from most of the audience, and which is more than any of their actual comedy on stage had received.
Well done, Simon. So, Sam, why have you never done improv? You should do improv. Improv.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I think because I am nervous and thin-skinned.
Like, yeah, well, me too. But that's where you start off with your intro courses, where everyone is nervous. And you're not having to be... I think the problem that a lot of people have when when I talk to people, I say, well, would you do this? And they always say no. It's mainly because they're nervous, but also like, oh, I'm not funny enough, I'm not clever enough. And you are both funny and clever. But yeah, also, you don't need to be to do improv. Like, a lot of it is people aren't even trying to be. They're kind of just, oh, I'm trying to build a character or do a fun scene or else.
So I don't know. Maybe I'll do, maybe we'll start our own twin improv group, Twimprov.
Twimprov, we should start that. And it might go a little something like this. Dear sir, I'd like to buy a baguette. All the best improv.
Fat bread.
That's the one. All the best improv is set in a shop where the two people have not met each other or previously or know each other. That's ripe for great comedy improv.
But also, like, either you're in a bakery, in which case everyone wants to buy bread, or... Like
I said baguette though, so that's specific. Baguette.
That's true, actually. No, you did. You followed rule 101. I don't know if it's rule 101 of improv. Be specific. Is that one of the rules?
You know, that is rule 101, but the rules start at one. That's the 101st rule, is be specific.
In some ways, this whole podcast is improv, and I don't know if that is a sign that we should start an improv group.
No, well, I mean, let's not forget your... I was quite enjoying your list of...
Well, should we go back to it?
We've got three more to go.
It's less improvised.
The final three, San, in bronze medal position. What have we got?
This just amused me because it was like Microsoft Word autocorrect that I wrote about. I was writing, it's not so funny. I was writing about an attack in a village, and I wrote 30 armed men. And it suggested that instead of 30 armed men, I should put 30-armed men.
Yeah, pretty good.
They don't have 30 arms. They just don't.
Pretty good stuff. Okay. I think. Context.
Do you want to riff on that for more? Or should I go
not
to the
really. Next? No, I think we should move on to the silver medal position. I'm assuming these are all in order.
I've written easy peelers. It just amuses
easy
me.
Peelers?
Yeah, because you know like those small like satsumi things are just called easy peelers in the supermarket.
I mean, this isn't the first one.
What else are we going to start naming things like? What easy choppers for potatoes? Easy openers for tins of things.
Now, I would like to retract my previous comment when I said you'd be good at improv. I see. I was mistaken. After 40 years, I finally see you with fresh eyes, and I realise
easy trickers for grapes.
That is a thing, isn't it?
I don't know.
I mean, you can get, and I was. You can get easy cook rice, and I think I have previously riffed on like how hard was it to cook rice before.
That's true. That's true.
And I still don't really know the difference between easy cook rice and other rice.
No, that's, I don't know.
Not really a joke, but it's let's delve into this one. What would make rice easier to cook than other rice? Is it like speed? Is it the fact that you don't have to wash the starch off, maybe?
Well, maybe. My friend and I, who I saw yesterday, is very keen that I use her cooking rice method, which I don't, where she just like says one part rice to two parts water, put it in a pan, leave it until it's all boiled off, and then steam it what's left or something.
Now, son, I've previously made clear that I'm not a fascist, but is your friend, wasn't it, Anaya?
Nanaya.
I've met Nanaya. Yeah. Where in the world is she from? Because a lot of cultures have strong feelings about rice that I think in Britain
originally Ghana, and then she moved here when she was like 10 or something.
Because I think that we're probably, as a nation, not that interested in rice. Like, we'll have rice. Yeah. But like, no one has ever... I do sometimes rhapsodize about brown rice as opposed to white rice. But
brown rice is so much better than white rice.
Yeah.
But it's also the worst carb, even with brown rice.
Right. Is it?
Yeah. Huh. Like, well, think it through. We've got bread. Amazing. Pasta.
Oh, worst is... Amazing. I thought you meant like, as in health-wise.
Oh, no, I don't care about that. It's just right. The least exciting carb.
Couscous, is that a carb? It's pretty good.
I don't know.
But bread obviously is number one.
Sure.
Potatoes very, very good.
People come in with potatoes because they're like, you can have chips and roast it. And it's like, yeah, we can have all those things, but none of them are as good as a cheese sandwich. So, Is that true? Mm. Probably not. But pasta, no, great. It's not true, but pizza, it's a spread, I guess.
Is pasta great?
What?
That's what I'm saying, Simon. I'm saying, come at me, Italy. Wow. Speaking of fascists. I'm just not a big fan of pasta. I mean, I eat a reasonable amount of pasta, but it's like...
I have pasta probably 3 times a week.
I used to have pasta a lot more than I do now, but it's just like, it's quite dull, isn't it? I mean, the good thing about pasta is what you can have with it, but no one's like...
It's a great video for pasta, I will say that.
Well, is it? Like, you put some sauce on it, you put some bolognese, even some cheesy pasta, but even then the cheese is the good bit.
Yeah, no, you've really told me about pasta. You've told me.
Yeah. Now, Simon, we've got one thing left on your list, and it is the gold medal position, so it's the best one. It's the... this is not just the peak of this podcast, Simon, but the peak of civilization. Here we go. You can take your Colosseum, you can chuck it in the bin. The previous peak of civilization.
I'll just read it, because okay. I don't know what it means.
Right, okay.
Dishwasher safe thank you letter.
Dishwasher safe thank you letter.
Now, there's a chance that these things are two different things that I went and talked about that accidentally got put online, but I can't think what they'd be either way.
Dishwasher safe thank you letter. I mean, they all feel like things...
That is going to be the title of this episode.
Now. Oh, yeah. They all feel like things that are connected with an Airbnb, like if it's a key safe or something.
Maybe.
And you seem like the kind of person, and I hate to insult you, Zion, you seem the kind of person who would leave a thank you letter for your Airbnb host.
Oh, that would be a lovely thing to do, actually. Why is that an insult?
No, I mean, the fact that you can't see that is why it's an insult. But like, after staying in Airbnb, you seem like someone who would write a nice little note, but...
Well, I should say that the rapport I had with my Airbnb host at the last Airbnb place I went did prevent her probably shopping me to police for drugs.
I think we can leave
story
that
for another time.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't do drugs, to clarify.
Now, we haven't mentioned Mum and Dad yet. Hey, Mum and Dad. Now, Zion, tell me, does this not sound like something that Mum would do? She stayed somewhere, okay? Maybe not an Airbnb, but like the holiday home of a friend or whatever else. She wants to write a thank you letter. Of course she does. That's not an insult. She knows these people. Thank you, Dad. It's nice. Yeah. But thank you, Dad, to where she passively aggressively mentions the fact that the dishwasher took too long and the key safe was broken or something. Mum would be all over that. She'd love that.
But yeah, she might do that.
Now, Mum, when I say passively aggressive, I don't mean that. I mean lovingly and wisely.
Yeah, I mean... It might have been me writing down a hypothetical thank you letter that Mum would write.
I think that's the scenario. What else we got?
Well, I think dishwasher safe is one term. Like
a dishwasher safe? Like a dishwasher in a safe? What are you talking about? You're insane.
I don't know if you're joking or not. Are you joking?
Safe as in an adjective. Yeah, carry on.
Because on the back of plates, it'll say like dishwasher safe or bowls, whatever, if you can put them in a dishwasher.
I hadn't realised that was together.
Wow, you're dumb.
Yeah. What would a dishwasher safe look like?
I can't believe I said dishwasher safe when you thought I was referring to a dishwasher in a safe.
I did think that. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
But so, will that be good for Simon? I'm going to save my moment of stupidity by this excellent punchline.
I've remembered what it is. That's really what the topic is.
Are you going to let me say money laundering, or we're going to have money laundering? Okay, right. No, okay, carry on.
Sorry. That was good. I'm sorry I ruined it. But it's because years ago, what's her name? Sharon Coward.
Ooh, it's not looking good for you naming women again.
Sharon Coward bought us mugs for our birthday or something.
Back on. Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you, Sharon. And I was, you know, we were writing thank you letters. Of course you were. We were well brought up. Mm-hmm. And I had run out of anything to say, so I referenced the fact on the thank you letter that they were dishwasher safe. And what a blessing that was.
Fair enough.
That's the story I wanted to tell.
That's pretty good. I saw something on, I don't know, Instagram or something about thank you letters. It was advice from either Ernest Hemingway or someone, or Mark Twain, or I don't know, some writer.
Sure.
Probably not them, because I don't think either of them would have written thank you letters. But whoever it was is when you're writing a thank you letter, don't say thank you in the first line.
Oh.
Because you run out of stuff to say immediately. Like, start off by saying something else, and then kind of your next line is the thanking you for the thing. which I mean, I don't really think he does now because I'm 40. But if I ever do again, good tip.
We should still write thank you letters. I don't do it myself. Well, I guess I send thank you WhatsApp messages instead, which is nice. But what was really lovely at a wedding I went to a couple weeks, or maybe last week, was that they'd written in advance, thank you for like being here, or like I think we'd given money in advance for honeymoon or something. But they'd written, either one or both of them, had written full cards of like filled with writing for everyone there. Wow. I did say to the bride how nice it was, and she instantly was like, bane of my life. So I think maybe it was the groom's idea. But
yeah, it doesn't sound like something that they would have enjoyed doing. But yeah, well, nice keepsake, Sam. What have you done with yours?
Well, at the moment, it's on my sideboard.
There you go.
They're good eggs. We like Johnny and Emily. Big fans. Mm. If you're listening, Johnny and Emily.
I don't think I know Johnny and Emily. But I would say to them, as some feedback, that's quite a difficult couple name to say, Johnny and Emily. There's a lot of E's going on there. John and Emily? Fine. Johnny and Emily? Even Emily and Johnny's not really helping.
Emily, I think, if that helps.
I mean, I wasn't trying to portmanteau it, but...
No, Johnny and Emily, you're not wrong. And I'll let them, they're on honeymoon currently, but I'll let them know to have a quick divorce.
Or John and Emily,
I guess. I call him J-Star. Does that help?
I don't know. I'm not sure any of these are helping.
J-Star and Emily. The Masons. No, that's not their name. That was her name. The Rogers.
Oh, yeah. You're doxing your friends.
I don't think that's what doxing means.
I don't know what doxing is, if I'm honest.
It does seem to have become quite broad in terminology, much like gaslighting. I do find it weird that no one really thought about the play Gaslight for about 80 years, and then suddenly it became so big. Well, I can imagine most of you, so I guess I do not know the work of Patrick Hamilton intimately.
No, I've seen the film, but I've not seen I've not seen it on stage.
Because I remember Rosamund Pike being in it and talking about it on Richard and Judy, and when they sort of referred to the fact that she was being what we would now call gaslit by her husband, Rosamund Pike was like, oh, that's a spoiler, you can't say that. So like, I think people didn't even know that was the theme of Gaslight for a long time.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I suppose it would have been would have been a bit of a twist at the end, yeah. Although I do find that people now just say gaslight to mean disagreed with me.
yeah. Like when people say trolled online, when they just mean that someone disagrees with them.
I do remember when you put on Facebook your point about that, and then someone commented to explain what troll meant in internet slang.
Yeah, it's like I didn't know what to do with this. Like, yeah, okay, fine.
They were trolling you pretty hard there, Sam. They were trolling you pretty hard.
Oh my gosh, trollception. Gosh, so many good names for this episode.
I don't think trollception really gets across what we're doing. It's like, I always get annoyed when people put gate as a suffix on something to mean a political scandal just because of Watergate. It's like, I mean, I know where it comes from. It's like, can I just put the word gate? I mean, you can. People do.
I think you can and should, actually.
Why don't you put water in front of it? Maybe I'll start doing that. This is water burning this week.
I honestly have no idea what's going on with Andy Burnham, so that's lost to me completely.
He's going to be the next Prime Minister, probably.
Who is he? That's probably. Nice.
Well, do you honestly not... I know you said you switched off in politics, but...
I know that people were calling for Keir to leave, but I don't know anything else.
Well, son, let me break it down to you quickly. So, you know Caroline West? No, Catherine West. No.
I don't.
Catherine North? Anyway, literally no one had heard of her until like 3 days ago, and I still can't remember her name in a switch around of the theme that
really
I've been going for.
About you, hasn't it? Yeah.
I think I want to say Catherine West, but like, everyone hated Keir, but no one like was brave enough to stand up and say he should resign. So this woman no one ever heard of was like, I'm challenging him for the leadership just to try and get other people to do the same. And then Wes Streeting, the health secretary, resigned but didn't actually get around to challenging because he didn't have enough people supporting him. And then, so Andy Burnham wants to be the new prime minister, but you can't be prime minister unless you're an MP. He's an MP, I suppose. But so not long ago, someone in Gordon and Denton, who was a Labour MP, resigned their seat so that Andy Burnham could take it. But you can't run for Labour MP unless you've got the backing of the NEC. And they said, no, we're not going to let you because we don't want you to challenge Keir Starmer. It's not quite the phrase they used, but...
Gosh, it's all going on, isn't it?
Anyway, but now someone else has stood down, and this time the NEC is like, yeah, no, we'll let you do it. So if he successfully wins this by-election, which is deep in reform homelands these days.
Yikes.
So basically either he's going to have stood down as mayor and lose this election and do nothing, or he's going to be the next prime minister. Seems to be there.
Wow. So what happened to the guy who, or gal, who stepped down in the other place, just like lost their job for no reason?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, they lost their job. And then, quite understandably, the people of Gordon and Denton are like, why are you messing around, like forcing us to have a by-election just for your political games? We're going to vote for this green woman instead.
Okay. Wow.
So it's all going on.
By-election, gosh.
Yeah, I think the by-election is happening maybe when we're in Canada, maybe just before.
Okay.
It's all happening, son. That's my political update for you.
Gosh, I'm quite glad that I'm retired from paying attention to politics.
But in the first half of our lives to date, there were three different prime ministers. And the second half of our lives to date, there have been eight so far, and it looks like we're going to be up to our ninth.
Wow.
There's too many and prime ministers.
In the period when we supposedly have got 5-year fixed terms, which doesn't seem to have spread out prime ministers particularly.
Well, no, that doesn't happen anymore. That's stopped.
Oh, we got rid of that again? So there were no periods of 5-year fixed terms during the period in which we had to have 5-year fixed terms.
No, that happened.
Yeah, I mean, it did seem weird. It was like 5-year fixed terms unless we don't want to. It was like, well, that was already the rule.
That was already kind of the rule. Yeah, it was a nice try.
Well, I guess we've come to the end.
We have come to the end, son, of what some people are calling the greatest comeback episode of anything since Scrubs, I guess.
Well, maybe we'll be regular again now. Who knows?
Were we ever regular?
Well, no. Maybe we'll do it more than once a year.
Maybe. People are lining up for the post-calendar episode.
It's true. And since we last did this, I guess I probably had just about launched my M&L podcast last time we did this. But
oh, yeah. Do you want to plug some stuff?
Of Dingle All the Way. So
go.
We've got episode 150 of Teal Books coming up. It's all going.
Oh, it's all happening. Is that a Q&A episode?
It's a Q&A episode.
Right. Let me see if I can think of a question.
Email it to teobooks@gmail.com.
I'll ask you right now. Do you have a favourite bookmark?
Someone's actually already asked that for this episode.
What? What's that?
Someone's already asked that question for this episode, for episode one.
Really? Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. It's a good question, though. I think that's interesting. Yeah. Okay. Let's see what else we got. If you were in a hot air balloon...
Okay.
With Charles Dickens.
Right.
And the completed works of Charles Dickens, and you can only keep one. Which one would you keep?
That's a good question. I'll make sure to ask it in the episode.
Okay. Well, what have you done, son? What have you done?
We have put the win
into twin.